Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So first of all, the power of God. We're going to ask the Lord to bless this lesson, this thing with us. Father, we thank you so much for your power. Oh, Father, we have seen your power. We have seen the power of God that has come forth in so many areas of our lives, all of our lives. You have been so faithful, and I praise you so much that we have the power of God with us today. He is a faithful Lord, and I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this dear lesson, we pray, Father. So the first thing I wrote down in my notes was, how great is our God? Amen. Is your God just a little bitty God that occasionally hears your prayer and maybe does something for you once in a great while?
No.
That's just not the way it is it? Praise the Lord that God is that wonderful, wonderful, powerful God that we love so much. So I also wrote down, what is the factor that causes the earth to stay in its orbit? That's one thing that our great God is doing all the time. He's keeping the earth in its orbit. He has a big job to do here on the earth. And he isn't doing it just half-heartedly. He is always taking care of everything that we have even known of. It's just so wonderful to think about. What holds the planets and the stars in the sky? God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? In the places in the skies, just look up there and there it is again. Praise the Lord. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the ability of God. Does God have any ability to take care of everything? Yes, he does. He's God. He is the divine leader. And, of course, Jesus Christ is God, too. He's the Son of God, and he is powerful and strong. Hallelujah. So I want us to turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And we're going to go to chapter 10. We're just going to read a couple of verses here in this place. But they are precious verses that speak to us about our Lord, the true God. He is the true God. In the time of Jeremiah, a lot of the people of Israel were worshiping idols. And so Jeremiah brings this out because it's the Spirit of the Lord working on him. And he speaks to him and he says, say, the Lord is the true God. Hallelujah. And that is what we want to do always in our lives. Our Lord is the true God. Nothing else is true like he is. In verse 10 of chapter 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He hears our prayers. He's alive. Jesus is alive. An everlasting king. He's never going to stop being the king. He is the king. And of course, our Lord Jesus will be reigning during that some of that time after the tribulation. And it says, at his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. And do we ever see that? We sure do. We see a lot of indignation in this world. We see a lot of evil going on right now. All of the different things in our country, but overseas also, with the things that are taking place over there with Israel in different places. And, oh my, in that one country there in Africa, where they wound up, they took all the Jews and they forced them to be in the top part of that country with no food, no clothing, nothing. They were determining that they were going to all die and get out of their country. Ethiopia. That's what I'm talking about. It was in the news. God sees all of that. And one of these days, as it says there in that verse, at his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. One of these days, and I really believe it's very soon, he is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is going to wipe up this mess that's down here in this world that we live in. He's going to take care of it. Praise the Lord. I wanted to also read the next verse. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have made, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. And then speaking of God again, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. He hath stretched out the heavens by his discernment. Praise the Lord. He uttereth his voice. There is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings with rain, and he brings forth the wind out of the treasures. And it just goes on telling about things that God always does. I really believe it. I believe it with all my heart that he is in control of everything that goes on, and he is so, so faithful. Now, there's a verse we won't turn to, but you'll probably know it, and that is John, the book of John in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 3. All things are made by him, and without him, there's not anything made that was made. There's not a thing in this earth that is anything of value greater than what God has done. All of the wonderful things. Think of down through the ages how he caused people to believe in him and to follow him. And in this church age, it's been just a wonderful time. I can remember things in my life from way, way back when my dad was preaching and other preachers that just I recognized them as I was a child. Seeing the power of God working in the assemblies of the church and bringing in people to hear the word of God. Just so precious. Hallelujah. He made the earth and all creation by his power. All the things that are made by him. And without him is not anything made that was made. So turn with me in your Bible to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. We're just going to read in a particular place. We're going to chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12 of chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word means able. He made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, saints, we're not talking about saints like Catholicism says, you know, there's saints. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, when it says saints, it's talking about the people of God. The people of God. You and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He is in our lives. He is with us. He's guarding us. Oh, my. I praise the Lord for his faithfulness. He is so wonderful and so great. So we give thanks unto the Father, which made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's going to be a great inheritance. And I think all of us here probably realize this, that not all people will receive the same reward in heaven. People who fully walk with God and yield to God are going to have a great reward in heaven. And others will have a place in heaven. And I can assure you there will be no sorrow in heaven. There will be no unhappiness or crying and weeping and saying, oh, I wish I had done better. No, it won't be that way. Any of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be in heaven. Praise the Lord. That salvation is eternal salvation. And we teach it that way and we believe it. That's what Jesus said. He would give us eternal life. And praise the Lord, once we have come to know Jesus, we have eternal life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that word partaker, it says there that the partaker of the inheritance. Okay, the word partaker, it means that you share. It means you're going to share something that the Lord has. It means a participation with the Father. That's, if you look the word up, you'll find that's what it means. There's a participation with the Father of God, Father God. I hope every one of us here participates with Father God. How about praying before a meal? How about praying before you go to bed at night, having your little kids praying, those kind of things? That's wonderful things to do with God, just to come there and participate with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Now notice in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Don't be afraid of the terrible stuff in the world, the darkness. Don't be afraid of the devil. The devil is a defeated foe. We are the children of the living God. He is for us. Hallelujah. He is delivering us from the power of darkness. We don't have to be afraid of that. He has translated us, no longer a citizen of this world. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven, and so are you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have eternal salvation. Praise the Lord. And it's there in with the Lord God. So it says, from the power of darkness, and you've translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. How beautiful that is. And then I wanted to talk to you about before Jesus' birth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was told by the angel Gabriel before the conception how it would be possible that she, a woman who was not saved, who was not, pardon me, not a married person, how could she then be pregnant and have a child? And the word tells us that. And I want us to look at it. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter of Luke, where God talks to Mary. The angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have a child. Praise God. We're going to look at verse 34. When the angel had said that this was going to happen. Verse 34, chapter 1. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so that's what took place right there, that the Lord just revealed that, and Mary saw, she accepted that, and praise the Lord. She said, how shall all this happen? But the Lord was right there to tell her, glory to God, hallelujah. And that's what took place. Praise the Lord. Jesus born of the Virgin Mary, but yet giving himself as the Son of God to be the sacrifice for all of our sins. Praise the Lord. Let's look in the Old Testament again. Let's go back to the Old Testament, and let's go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, we're going to go to the 7th chapter of Daniel. Now, the man Daniel, I hope that every one of us are aware that as a young person, he was captived by Nebuchadnezzar. They came over there and they took a lot of the people. They killed an awful lot of the Jews. They took people away to them. And so Daniel became a man that was very, very close to God. He loved God, and he wrote this book of Daniel. And what we're going to read is we're going to go to chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel, being a very young man to start with, but as time goes on in the book of Daniel, even, it shows how he has gotten older and older and older, and at the very last, he's still there. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now, the Son of Man, that capital S, it signifies that this is Jesus Christ he's talking about. He's called that in the New Testament. And he came to the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. He was called there to the throne of God the Father, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Praise the Lord. So this is the promise of God, as we have already read about the power of God. The power of God in this thing, that though Jesus was a little baby and then he grew up, he's still going to have this place, this wonderful place, as the King of all kings, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. He's going to be that. And we have the privilege to be right there reigning with him. Oh, it's a precious thing. Glory to God. So now I want us to think about Jesus had power in his crucifixion. See how I have that word power? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about power. Okay, so let's go to John, the 10th chapter. We're going to read verse 18 of this chapter. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He said, "No man taketh it from me," and he's talking about his life, "but I lay down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." That's what we're talking about, the power of God. Jesus Christ had this kind of power. He could instantly heal someone. He didn't even have to put his hand on them. He'd just tell them, "Go so-and-so and wash your eyes," and they were well. Those kind of things, and many, many others. And so this beautiful verse, "No man taketh this from me." No man can take the life of Christ. And notice it says that in verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And no man takes it from me, but I lay it down by of myself." I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. "This commandment have I received of my Father." So you see the power that the Lord had. Glory to God. And then I wanted you to turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter of Philippians. This is good time. You might think, boy, she's sure given us a lot of different scriptures. But it's practice. See, once you do this a lot of times, you just know where they are. Okay, Philippians. We're going to go to chapter 2, Philippians. We're going to read verses 5 through 9 right here. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Paul talking, and he's telling us, "Let this mind be in you." In verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." What a Lord that would do that. Praise the Lord. He did it. Glory to God. There are 7 downward steps in those, that thing that we just read. 7 downward steps. He first had no reputation. People who knew and recognized, oh yeah, there's that man he's saying is the Son of God, but yet they wouldn't actually let him have that reputation fully. Praise the Lord. So all of those different things that we see there. 7 downward steps. He drained himself of the power to go to the cross, and he died and to die for us. He did it. He did it, even though it was very difficult. He was the Son of God. Imagine the Son of God dying like that. But yet he did that because he wanted us to be saved. It's wonderful. Glory to God. So the next power, now these are powers. That was the power Jesus had at his crucifixion. The next one we're going to look at is the power for us to become sons of God. And we're going to look in the book of John. John, let's go back to John. In this one, Okay, I didn't get any answer. John 1, 11. John 1, 11. Here he is. He came unto his own. He came to the Jews. He tried to help them. And his own received him not. And as many as received him, to them gave he power. And this word power here means, in the Greek, it means authority. God gave the people that would accept him power. He gave them authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this is, he's talking about new birth. He's talking about being born into the family of God and how precious that is. Hallelujah. He gave me the power to become the sons of God. It wasn't in our own strength. It was God's strength. It was Jesus' strength that he died for us. He prepared for us a way to accept that beautiful thing. So that is the power for us to become sons of God. Hallelujah. And there's another verse that is, you don't need to turn to it necessarily, but it's Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Praise the Lord. And another one in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. It's kind of amazing how many times Paul used power of God, power of God. It shows us what he knew. He knew he had no power in himself. He knew that they threw him in the jail. They threw him in a horrible place, just a horrible place in Rome. And yet he knew that God was there and God was faithful. And he praised the Lord for the power of God. Now, this fifth thing is the power that is manifest from God when he sent the Holy Spirit. And I know that time will run away, so I want you just to listen, okay? Acts, the first chapter, verses 7-8, say this. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. We don't have power, and this verse says that there, and we don't have power to say, okay, tomorrow the Lord's going to come, so everybody get ready. We don't have that kind of power. We don't have power to you know, say, you got to all do so-and-so, you know. That's not our power. That's the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he says it's not for us to know the times and the seasons. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But he also says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise the Lord. And in verse 8 of this book of Acts that I quoted to you, chapter 1, verse 7-8, it says, but you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise the Lord. So the power that is manifested by the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. There were seven steps that Jesus took that when he went down, that it drained himself of the powers that he had. And that is found in Philippians 2, verse 5-9, if you'd like to read that. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, for though he was crucified through weakness, he liveth by the power of God. It's amazing how many times this word power is used by Apostle Paul. That's what I'm trying to say to you. 2 Peter, verse 1-2 and 3. If you'd like to turn that in your Bible, go to 2 Peter on over in your Bible after the book of Hebrews, and you can follow along on what I'm going to read. But I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Version this time. And this is 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 2-3. And it says here, in my original statement here, it says, grace and peace be multiplied. Praise the Lord. And so notice what it says in the other. It says in verse 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to be to glory and virtue. Now, when we read it in the Amplified, it says, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. That's beautiful, isn't it? He has done all of this for us. You know, sometimes I know Christians think they have to do a lot of work to get God to love them, you know. Well, he wants us to work. He wants us to give our life and yield to him and let him be number one. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, the scripture says, but according to his mercy he has saved us. So praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah.